Welcome, everyone, to KDVS on a Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Welcome to the program. We, this afternoon, are going to be talking about dramatic topics, including a show that opens tonight called Hinterland. It's by Granada artist-in-residence Lucy Goff. And she is here in the studio. She's brought with her some of the people who have been instrumental in making this into such an impressive production. And we're going to take much of the hour to talk about that production and interview some of the people involved. We'll have some interruptions from time to time for jazz, such as the Thelonious Monk that you hear in the background, as well as some recorded poetry and announcements about tonight's poetry night. Yes, it's poetry night at Bistro 33. Sharon Dubiago will be the featured guest. She's a 3-time Pushcart Prize winning poet. She has had a book named The Book of the Year by LA Weekly, and she's been nominated for a National Book Award. She'll be reading tonight at 8 o'clock at Bistro 33, that's 226 F Street, here in the city of Davis. Sharon Dubiago, and multiple opportunities to see Hinterland, some of the topics that we'll be talking about on this edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, the weekly public affairs radio show that you can hear Wednesday afternoons at 5 o'clock here at KDVS. My name is Dr. Andy. I'm a longtime faculty member at the University of California, Davis. In fact, my length of tenure of teaching, tenure is not quite the right word, but the number of years I've been teaching here at UC Davis is exactly twice the number that I've been hosting this radio show, and that's 20 and 10. My service to you, the community of poetry and technology lovers who tune in locally in and around the city of Davis, throughout the Sacramento Valley, and everywhere else via the World Wide Web and iTunes. This afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, we are going to be talking about, featuring, and exemplifying a new show called Hinterland. It's by Granada artist-in-residence Lucy Goff, and it's a journey to the wild edge, the place where things change. If you can imagine, two poetic radio dramas take the audience into a dark, surreal landscape sculpted in sound and voice while exploring the search for the soul. This production concerns imagination and transformation and is a fusion of savage earthiness and magic realism. I'll give you the details and then we'll talk a little bit more about the show. I'll introduce Lucy Goff, who's here at KDVS. So this is at the Main Theater, sometimes called, what's the name of that? The Wright Hall. Yes, yeah, Celeste Turner Wright Hall. I should know because I once knew Celeste Turner Wright just a little bit. The Main Theater on the UC Davis campus. It opens tonight at 8 p.m. and runs through to Saturday at 8 p.m. There will also be a show Saturday at 2 p.m. Everyone is welcome. Tickets can be purchased, it's my understanding, at the box office right over there at the Mondavi Center, as well as at the door if the show doesn't sell out and you're lucky enough to get a ticket. Lucy Goff is here to tell us about her show, and I'm going to tell you about her in some detail before we let her speak. Lucy Goff is based in Aberystwyth and has written extensively for television, radio, and stage. Her work includes Catherine Wheel, 1991, which toured by the Scallywag Theater, Our Lady of Shadows, Rushes, Head, Wolfskin, The Red Room, Judith Beheading Holofernes, Mapping the Soul, Griffhead, The Raft, Wuthering Heights, The White Hare, and others. She was shortlisted for the BBC Wales Writer of the Year Award in 1994 and the John Whiting Award in 1994. She wrote for Hollyoaks on Channel 4 for 10 years, and currently she writes for the BBC drama Doctors. I got to hear her speak about her work with Wuthering Heights a few weeks ago on campus. Enjoyed meeting her and have been looking forward to this conversation. She's also brought some members of the support team and the cast of Hinterland. We'll hear from them in a moment. But first, Lucy Goff, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hello.
Wait, let me try that one more time and I'll actually turn on your mic.
All right.
Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. So tell me a little bit about, for people who don't know, the Granada Artist in Residence program. It's certainly been a pleasure for me to bring so many fascinating people down here to 14 Lower Freeborn to talk about theater. How about from your perspective?
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity to spend a long length of time working on one project, mm-hmm. and also out of your usual environment, which also makes it very interesting. You know, being a long way from home changes everything. And as far as I understand it, it's every quarter there's a different artist comes and brings their own piece of work, something they want to work on mm-hmm. over that time. And while they're here, they work with the students and the faculty to develop that piece. And this, I've chosen to develop a radio drama on stage live because I think the alchemy that happens when an audience experiences radio is fascinating. And I think it would be rather fun to have a live audience watching a radio drama happen before their eyes.
Absolutely. And if people wanted to tune into this radio drama tomorrow evening,
yes,
I understand they'll have an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, Kate.
KDVS.
And it starts at 8 o'clock. Yes, and it'll be both dramas will be broadcast live with a live audience watching it at the same time. So, yeah, I mean, what would be really good for people if they came and saw it staged and then listened to it the next night, because then you'd get a sense of how it works
right.
when you're watching the sounds being created and the actors creating the world, but then to also go home and listen to it the next, you know, live as a radio broadcast would be quite fun, I think.
And I'll remind folks, too, that as regular listeners know, you can listen to any program on KDBS from the previous week just by going to the schedule on kdbs.org and clicking on the appropriate link, so that even if you see the show Thursday night live, Friday, or one of the two showings on Saturday, one would still be able to go back and listen to that Thursday evening show to get a sense of it from that perspective as well. So tell me a little bit more, why a radio drama? Certainly, Britain has a much more vibrant tradition mm-hmm. these years in particular of putting on radio dramas.
Yeah.
But why bring a radio drama to the stage?
That's quite a difficult question, actually. But I think what's fascinating is to actually work in both mediums, to bring radio to the theatre. And I mean, I think we've all discovered that creating this piece, how fascinating. I mean, whenever I go to a radio studio, I always love the fact that we're sitting in this radio studio watching sounds being created by the most unexpected things, and yet our minds are telling us that it's what the writer wants us to hear.
Right.
And there's this real dilemma, this dichotomy going on in your own mind. And I think that from the point of view of a theatrical experience, going to the theatre and watching a radio drama happen is hopefully will recreate that sense, because there's a real joy in the simplicity and yet the complexity of radio, what it does to the imagination. And in a way, that's why I wanted to bring a radio drama, because I wanted to make it a theatrical event. And I hope that's what will happen. And we've got all the wonderful Foley with all the creating all these incredible sounds with the most unlikely things. We've also got some wonderful singing going all the way through the soul sings. So we're using all sorts of different elements to create this drama, which will create a world on radio for anyone who's listening, and hopefully will take them to that place. That's the whole point of creating a radio drama. But also the live theatre audience will experience that world being created as well as visiting it. So it's an interesting experiment.
Absolutely. Here in the United States, we have the long tradition of Garrison Keillor's work.
I love his work.
Yeah. And they also do some impressive things with sound effects.
Yes.
And I'm sure part of the fun for the live audience is to see how is it exactly that one could represent hoofbeats or a car crash or whatever the case may be when it's just one man with a long table full of objects of some sort?
Well, we've got a brain dissection running all the way through the play, and I'm not going to tell you what we use.
Okay.
But I think you'll cringe and be amused at the same time.
Excellent. Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a new play. It's called Hinterland. You'll have a chance to see it tonight on the main theater at University of California at Davis, and here in the city of Davis. And the showings continue Thursday and Friday night, Saturday at 2 p.m., and also Saturday at 8 p.m. So you'll have multiple opportunities to see the work of my guest, Lucy Guff. So, Lucy, I think people at home will be interested in the BBC drama Doctors. I want to hear more about Hinterland, but why don't we get this out of the way and talk a little bit about how writing for Doctors, what Doctors is, and how writing for that is different from writing for the stage.
Doctors is an afternoon medical drama, mm-hmm. which runs every afternoon on BBC One. And I love it because it has a serial element, just as when I was writing for the soap, Hollyoaks was all serial. But with Doctors, you have your own individual story each episode as well. So you pitch a medical story to the team, and if they like it, then your episode revolves around that individual story. But you have the serial element to work with as well. And writing for television, particularly a long-running series, is, for lots of reasons, a very different experience than writing a radio drama. And one of them is that you're writing for characters that are on screen for years.
Right.
So you're working with a very different sort of relationship with the characters that you're writing for. But, I mean, the thing I love about it is the fact that you can have these quite often quite bizarre medical stories. And then I always look for medical stories that have got a sort of psychological background, because I think that saves me having to get too expert on all the medical stuff.
Right. Well, my roommate and I would tune in to these once in a while when we lived in London 23 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's entirely possible that some characters that we saw then as teenagers or in their 20s, as we were, are still can be seen playing those same characters on television today.
Yeah, quite likely.
And so it's interesting. You have to be respectful of that history, but also see how can you offer something new and, as you say, psychologically rich.
Yes.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a quick musical break. We're going to hear a public service announcement. And then when we return, Lucy Guff and I will introduce you to some of the other members of her team, members of her cast, who are here. And I should tell you that you've got two treats in store for you, in addition to our fascinating conversation, and that is that you're going to hear some singing, and you'll also get to hear a short scene from this play that opens tonight. It's called Hinterland. You're listening to KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. We're celebrating in the background this afternoon the music of Thelonious Monk. This is from his CD, The Art of the Ballad. This particular track is called Tea for Two, though you might not be able to tell that it's that old favorite as you listen. Here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour this afternoon, we're celebrating the new play Hinterland, which opens tonight. The Granada artist in residence, Lucy Goff, is here in the studio. I'm going to ask her just a couple more questions before we hear from some of the members of her cast. So, Lucy, we've talked about your work as a playwright, but tell me about some of the other hats that you wear before we move on to some of the friends that you've brought.
Well, for this, I've done it a bit before as well. I've directed this show, but both the plays, because there's two plays in Hinterland, two separate plays, and I've directed a few other productions before as well. And as well as that, I teach playwriting and radio drama at Aberystwyth University, where I'm now a creative research fellow. So.
And tell us about Aberystwyth. What are some of the main ways that it differs from, say, UC Davis?
It's by the sea. And, well, you know, in a lot of ways, it's very similar. You know, there's a lot of really hard-working students. Mm-hmm. Very, and because they're drama students, very focused on their productions, which is great. In a lot of ways, it's very similar, actually. Yeah.
Excellent. Great, and I'd like to remind folks that the show opens tonight. Tomorrow is the evening that you can hear the show simulcast on KDVS, this very radio station. And then there are airings Friday and Saturday evening at 8, and also a matinee production Saturday at 2.
And it's a really unusual experience, so come and see it.
Excellent. Well, Lucy, I'd like to introduce folks at home to some of the other people who have joined us. And Jorge, I'll start with you. You've joined me here in this studio before. Jorge Morejon is here. And according to his bio, he plays soul. And as a soulful performer, you'll soon hear how true that is. He has an artistic versatility nourished by two decades of theater, opera, dance, and performance art experiences. He's participated in over 40 productions with Prometeo Theater, Telemundo, Creation Ballet, Ballet Theater of Miami, the Greater Miami Opera, Brazart, and his own company, Phalos Theater. Most notably, he has appeared in The Maids, Sleepless City, and The Unbearable Lightness. He also directed Three Greek Women and Rabinal Aki. Currently, he is pursuing a PhD in performance studies at UC Davis. Jorge, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
Good to have you here. So tell me as much as you dare about the character that you play in these two plays that make up Hinterland.
Well, I think the main feature of the character is that he wears high heels.
Uh-huh.
And
that brings your height up to?
Well, or down to the earth.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's the way for the soul to be in touch with humanity and feel. It's the only time that embodies feeling, which is something that we all like to experience. And coming to the play is a way of embodying, you know, feeling through our performance, because it's so rich with elements of the earth. So this is a soul that flies, that is at times an albatross, and some other times it's just this very unique being on high heels that, you know, transits through different passages of the underworld.
You get to dance, and you also get to sing in this show.
Well, very little dance with high heel shoes, but
right.
Yes, I do sing.
Excellent. In a few minutes, and I mention this because we want to keep people riveted, you're going to share with us a song, a number from Hinterland.
If you invite me, yes.
Yes, wonderful.
Well, this one is when the soul and Adam are down in the pit, and the soul answers to Adam, I'm in the spaces between the stuff you don't know, the rubbish in the darkest part of your mind, where the real truth is hidden, where the body rots and turns to earth. Seeds germinate and ideas... Ideas? Do you guys remember? No, and ideas... something to life. Flicker. Ideas flicker to life like babies in the darkness of the womb. In this place, in this space, in the rubbish, in the alchemy of the darkness, where imagination is more potent than proof, where it goes deeper than reason. And I won't forget when I'm performing.
That's wonderful. Jorge Morejon. He's part of the new production called Hinterland that opens tonight at the main theater on the UC Davis campus. Showtime is 8 o'clock this evening. I'm always so impressed, and I've been doing this for a number of years on this radio show, that you actors, two and a half hours before you go on stage for real, always seem so calm and ready, and it's often on opening night that I get you. So, and I guess that comes from experience and supreme confidence. What do you think, Jorge?
I think both.
Okay, excellent. Well, let's introduce you to another member of this production, and that would be Brian Livingston. Brian Livingston is the assistant director. He is in the ensemble. He plays Death, and he is the Hinterland and Mapping the Soul lead Foley artist. He's a second-year MFA acting candidate at UC Davis. He lives in the Bay Area, where he's a member of the ensemble group Fool's Fury Theater Company and the Mystic Family Circus, both based in San Francisco and New York City. He recently finished acting in a feature-length film due out in February and toured a show to the New York Fringe in June, winning the Overall Excellence Award. Brian Livingston, welcome back to the program.
So good to be back. Thanks for having me, Dr. Andy.
Good to see you here. So what? Tell me about some of the joys and pleasures as well as the challenges of helping Lucy Goff put together this particular production of Hinterland.
Well, it's mostly been a joy and a lot of fun. Lucy's writing is incredible.
Yeah.
So it's really easy for us to kind of tap ourselves into the work and... I was fascinated when hearing that she was coming to UC Davis because I've always been fascinated with radio drama. I've done a bit of Foley work with my own theater company, but never at the kind of level that we've taken it to mm-hmm. here at Davis. And I just really wanted to get in on the project in any way possible. And I was graciously offered to say, hey, why don't you come and help in a different capacity? And I've been able to come and assistant direct, which has been a total dream because I live in that realm already. You know, I'm an actor, but again, right. Like Lucy, I try to wear as many hats as possible. So.
And speaking of those hats, for people who don't know about the term Foley, why don't you define that for us?
Foley is another term for sound effects or live sound effects. I believe it is because when the silent movies went to talkies, mm-hmm. They started having live sound effects. And what they did was they grabbed radio artists who knew how to make these sound effects and brought them into the movie room. And there was I forget his first name. I think it's something like Jim Foley or Joe Foley was one of these guys on one of the very first talkies or at least sound-laced movies. And so ever since then, this idea of soundscapes for movies is called Foley. And if you ever look at the end of the credits for a movie,
right.
It'll say Foley artist, lead Foley artist, this and that. And now it's kind of a common parlance in radio and theater and movies about people who are making sound effects which aren't necessarily the thing themselves that that you're trying to imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
Growing up in the 70s, I remember seeing behind-the-scenes work on the Star Wars movies and the different ways that Foley artists try to represent what a blaster would sound like or what a lightsaber smacking another lightsaber would sound like. And they'd have to go out and find telephone wires in obscure parts of California and hit them with different sorts of hammers to try to find these sounds that might work. Can you give me an example, either from this production or another, of some sound that you've discovered or especially enjoyed presenting to people in an audience?
Well, I think that, yeah, I mean, Jorge was just talking about the high heels, and the interesting thing is that the actors are at the mics, the actors themselves are at mics, and also a lot of movement on stage and a lot of mise-en-scene and things, but the Foley people, we're in charge of all the sounds, so you'll see the actor standing there, but we're insinuating that the soul is traipsing around in his realm, that's one way that's happened. Grabbing a bunch of medical instruments and finding, you know, just whatever things clink and clomp to kind of get a sense of people grasping things, water effects for underwater, just, you know, finding ways to delicately coax water to sound as if it is an underground river, or the water crashing against a small boat, or oars right in the water, things like that. Yeah.
Now, and of course, this is central to how a radio drama works. But why not just depend upon, say, a keyboard, a modern keyboard and a synthesizer could probably create a lot of these sounds from pre-recorded examples. What's the importance of creating the sound on the spot versus sampling sounds that already exist?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a very valid way to do it. I think Lucy, when she got here, we just really wanted to place a more difficult challenge and restriction on ourselves to kind of find out how to do this. And there's a very classic element to it of radio drama and how it has evolved, you know. But of course, it's gone to where you can just, you know, get a phone ringer and get a, you know, people walking and just kind of dub in any kind of sound. But since it's live, it's unpredictable. And there's a sense that, at least for me as a Foley artist, and I know for the other Foley artists involved, there's a way that we really have to sync up with the energy of the performer, and that a recorded sound doesn't have that kind of quality. So we're really about getting into the rhythm of where the performer wants to go, because every night they're going to have a different take, nuance, specificity about them, rhythm, meter, and we want to help emphasize where the performance is going, as opposed to emphasize anything rote or the story.
And I guess another way of putting that is that you don't want the performer to change to match the technology or to something that's pre-recorded, but rather to, as you say, create it there on the spot in a kind of collaborative way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Great, great. Brian Livingston is my guest, and we're talking about this production called Hinterland. It opens tonight at the Main Theater on the UC Davis campus. Showtime for tonight is 8 p.m., and it's 8 p.m. straight through to Saturday, including at 2 p.m. on Saturday, a mid-afternoon production. I'm excited to see this show. Brian, thanks very much for telling us about your part of it.
No worries. Thank you.
Absolutely. This is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and we'll be back with a little bit more talking about Hinterland, and also I'll remind you about the poetry reading that's happening tonight at Bistro 33. Keep it right here on KDVS. Thank you.
There are many ways to measure success. For the Shriners, it's the nearly 700,000 children with orthopedic and burn problems that they've helped. This is Ricardo Montalban. For over 80 years, the Shriners have provided state-of-the-art medical care to kids all over North America, totally free of charge. There is a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child that the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. It's the first Wednesday of the month, so you have many entertainment options, including Poetry Night, which is tonight at Bistro 33. Sharon Dubiago will be the featured poet at 8 p.m. She's won 3 Pushcart Prizes for poetry and fiction, the Hazel Hall Oregon Book Award for poetry, the California Arts Council Fellowship Award, the Woman Writer Genius Award from the Kentucky Foundation for Women, the Diane Wood Middlebrook Ann Sexton Memorial Fellowship in Literature, Sigma Delta Chi's Sports News Reporting First Place Prize, and Tom Robbins' Journalist of the Year Award, as well as many others. She'll be reading tonight at Bistro 33, reading from her poetry starting at 8 o'clock. There will be an open mic at 9. If you are a fan of poetry, then you will have a chance to hang out with other such fans tonight at Bistro 33 at 8 o'clock. You also have theatrical options. Hinterland opens tonight here on campus at the main theater, Celeste Turner Wright Hall, on the UC Davis campus. That show starts at 8 o'clock. And two of the members of the cast are here in the studio. I'd like to introduce you to them. The first is Sarah Birdsall. Sarah Birdsall is a fourth-year dramatic art major, and during her studies here at UC Davis, she's been in The Matter of Taste, Corpo Illicito, and the 2008 Third Eye Theater Festival. Her favorite credits include The Visit, The Comedy of Errors, Godspell, Seussical, and Once Upon a Mattress, among many others. We haven't talked about Godspell, Sarah. But I have a connection to that, and that is that the man who wrote Godspell, Stephen Schwartz, in the late 1960s, lived in my basement.
Oh, that's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So,
oh, bless the Lord, my soul.
Absolutely. Yeah. also here in the studio is Alyssa Murray. She's a junior. She's a transfer student from UC Irvine. And she's studying art and design here at UC Davis. She has experience with training at American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, including productions with ACT's Young Conservatory. Alyssa Murray, welcome to the radio show.
Thank you.
Good to have you both. Well, Sarah and Alyssa, I would love it if you would perform a scene from Hinterland, which opens this evening. But we were talking about Jorge playing Sol. And I know that that's a character that one of you will also inhabit. So I'm hoping you could tell us how that's possible and then prepare yourself as much as is necessary to present this scene to listeners.
Yes. So the first half is mapping the soul, and then we have intermission, and then we come back from intermission for Hinterland, which is a completely different experience. I play the soul, which is what Jorge plays in mapping the soul. And so the soul here, we're about to do a scene where this time I am the soul. So it's a really different kind of twist on the character, and it's very interesting.
Excellent. Do you all want to stand? Do you want to stay seated? I know that you're used to working a mic for this sort of acting. So however you're feeling comfortable, I invite you to start whenever you like.
D
Do you like pomegranates?
I'm not sure that I do.
The seeds are good for you.
I'll take your word for it.
What are you afraid of?
They say these sprang from the blood of Dionysus.
I love the color, the way each sits in its hollow like a single jewel, but part of a whole.
Like a symbol for something.
You have the soul of a poet.
I'm a poet's soul.
Your soul.
On the run.
Adam says you don't exist.
That's how it should be. I need to keep giving everyone the slip. Make them search for the soul. Be elusive.
To be a poet's soul must be wonderful.
It's the pits. You have no idea how awful it is. Being the soul of a poet who writes crap and talks rubbish while seeking immortality in hackneyed metaphors. Being fenced by his body. Imprisoned by a neurotic. This poet was infested with imagination which writhed and wriggled around all the time. And each time he was inspired, I'd have to float to his head. Death by devouring was too good for him.
Wonderful. So that was Sarah Birdsall and Alyssa Murray talking or presenting to us a scene from Hinterland, which is a new play by Lucy Goff. She's our Granada artist in residence. And all these folks are here in the studio of KDBS to talk about this production on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. So, Sarah, Alyssa, let's hear an actor's perspective on what it was like to do this production. What are some of the things that that you most enjoyed or that you will most appreciate having learned from this experience? Alyssa, you want to go first?
Yes, working on this production was a really wonderful experience because of Lucy's writing and the immense amount of focus put on the voice and really communicating your energy through vocal work, you know, without as much physicality, although it's very physical, but working with a mic as a new sort of medium with theater and theatricality was really, really such a learning experience. And I feel really fortunate to have been able to work with the ensemble and really work with the rhythm of the text and use that to create a really wonderful experience as a team.
That's great. In terms of working with the microphone, did you feel that you could focus more on nuance rather than projection, and in that way that might be different from, say, other productions that you've been a part of? And if you could say a little bit more about how that focus manifested itself, what did you have to learn or do or
try? Sure, that's a good point, because using, you know, focusing your energy with not as much on the body, you can really find different, you know, ways to communicate what you're saying through the voice and experimenting with different, you know, levels of using your voice as a medium for expression. So it was really quite interesting to keep the stillness too and figure out, you know, how to use the microphone as your instrument with the voice. So
excellent. And Sarah, let me ask you some of the same questions. You've been here for a number of years. What else did you learn from this production, or what was particularly rewarding from this production?
Well, I've been taking classical singing lessons off and on for 8 years, and when I came into this production, I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to have this down pat, and it wasn't like that. I learned so much more to do with my voice. I mean, I still use some of the techniques that I've learned throughout my teen years and stuff, but I've learned a lot about speech and how speech and singing are so similar, but they each have a different spirit to them. They have different emotions behind them, and how to convey that using sound rather than a physicality, as Alyssa said. So.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like a great show. It you did such a good job in class today telling folks, Sarah, about why they should come to the production. So why don't you remind us the where and the when, and I'll give you some time on why as well.
Okay. Well, the production will be on Celeste Turner Wright Hall main stage. This starting tonight at 8 p.m., running at 8 p.m. every night this week until Saturday, where we will also have a 2 p.m. performance. It's presented through the Department of Theater and Dance and the Granada Artist in Residence, Lucy Goff, and has a wonderful combination of undergraduates and grad students. And it's going to be a fabulous production.
Excellent. That's great. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to read a couple public service announcements. I'm behind on those. In fact, maybe I'll get one of our actors to read them. That would be much more enjoyable for all of you who have been hearing me read PSAs for the last decade. But first, a little bit more Thelonious Monk. Keep it right here on KDVS 90.3 FM. Davis. This is Dr. Andy, letting you know that there's an important event that's happening tomorrow afternoon and evening that you may want to be a part of. Some of you might know that for many years we've had a nature and culture program here at the University of California at Davis. Sadly, this program has been disestablished, as they say. And one of the last nature and culture classes ever offered, Nature and Culture 180, on art journals, will be presenting some of the work that the students have done and the research that they've done at the Memorial Union King Lounge. This is tomorrow, Thursday, December 2nd, from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the King Lounge in the Memorial Union. There will be a reception and a reading from some of those journals from 7 until 9 p.m. My colleague in the university writing program, Lori Glover, co-taught this class with Jeffrey Clary, and I've seen Lori's work over the years, and I've seen her students' work on display in different buildings around campus. Certainly it's sad that Nature and Culture is leaving us as a program, but I'm glad that we'll have this final opportunity to celebrate the work of Nature and Culture students. Again, that's tomorrow, Thursday, December 2nd, from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the Memorial Union King Lounge. This is open to all. The reception and reading will go from 7 until 9. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Brian Livingston with an important message.
Martinez Ranches reminds us that holidays come and go, but drinking and driving never mix. So if you're at a party or a family gathering and you've had one too many, don't become a statistic. Call a friend or ask for a ride, but whatever you do this holiday season, please, please, please don't drink and drive. This important reminder is brought to you by the concerned staff at Martinez Ranches in Winters. You may visit their website at martinezranches.com. Wishing friends and customers a safe and happy holiday season.
Thank you very much, Brian. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We'll be back in a moment with more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
We've been listening to the music of Thelonious Monk, and that, of course, as you know, is Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. It's from a CD called Thelonious Monk, The Art of the Ballad. Lucy Guff is here, and she's the Granada artist in residence, largely responsible, along with a team of supporters, for a play that opens tonight called Hinterland. It's a journey to the wild edge, a place where things change. Two poetic radio dramas take the audience into a dark, surreal landscape, sculpted in sound and voice while exploring the search for the soul. Now, Lucy Guff, I know that death makes an appearance in this particular production, and I'm wondering if you would recommend any age restrictions for audience members of this show.
Not really. There's nothing unsuitable as such, but I mean, it's quite dark material at places, so that's the only thing to think about. I don't know. It depends on the child, really, I guess.
Right.
But there's nothing unsuitable. There's the odd, odd strong language word, but not much. Most of it is, it's just that occasionally it's quite dark where it goes, isn't it? But it's also very funny, isn't it? It's a real mixture of comedy and darkness.
That's great. When I see theater and dance productions, and I see most of them, one of the favorite things that I do with whoever I bring along is to look in the program for the warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're warned about language or nudity or adult situations, but we especially like the loud noises and sometimes smoke from smoke machines. But it sounds like this production will be largely free of all of those hazards.
There's a haze machine. But it's water-based. Yeah.
Water-based.
So yeah,
okay.
So that, presumably that's all right then. Yeah. Yes, it will be free of all those worries. Yes.
Excellent. Well, we were talking off mic about when I'll be coming to see it, and one interesting thing happened to me, and I'm just going to throw in just a little bit of technology into the program. There is this company called Clout.com, and now that I've mentioned them, I should get a representative, K-L-O-U-T. And what clout does is it seeks to determine how much clout do different people have in the world of social media. And because I have a Twitter account, and you all can follow me at Andy O. Jones, Twitter/AndyOJones, and a Facebook account with a number of friends, I was chosen as a Sacramento area influencer that evidently when I... according to my clout score, it is believed that if I tell people that I'm going to do something, such as see Hinterland this coming weekend, that that would affect the actions and the proclivities of these people to whom I speak, my audience. In fact, my radio show didn't even come into play with this. So because of my clout score, I've been awarded two tickets, VIP passes, to see the Sacramento Kings play the Dallas Mavericks this coming Saturday. And I'm bringing my 13-year-old daughter to see that show. And evidently, they're going to pay for parking and food, and we'll be in a big booth with other VIPs, much more I in terms of the VIP than I am. And we'll get to interact with these people and see the Kings play. My favorite part is that Geneva and I will get to actually meet the Sacramento Kings after the game, allegedly. You know, if they play very badly, and they don't come out of the showers. I don't know how it works. I'm a little concerned that I'm bringing my 13-year-old daughter to this, but it'll be an experience. So Saturday's out for me for seeing the show, but I hope to see it either tomorrow night or Friday.
Good.
And could you remind me, Lucy, and someone will jump in if you don't remember the details, if someone wanted to inquire about a ticket, how do they do that?
Well, there's tickets at the box office. I mean, you can pick them up from the Mondavi Center as well, but also they're available at the box office at the main theater when you arrive, just before the performance.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And the main theater, let's remind folks, is in the, what is that, the southeast portion of campus, not too far from 1st and A Streets. You can park in the lot that's right there. And then just walk west about three-quarters of a block, and you'll see the theater department and the theater building on the left. You'll see lots of well-dressed people walking in that direction. If you are interested in seeing Hinterland tonight or tonight through Saturday, just follow those well-dressed people and they'll let you know right where to go to see Hinterland, a new production written and directed by my guest, Lucy Guff, and supported by the many voices that you've been hearing. I'd like to remind you before we get to the end of this program that Sacramento Food Not Bombs is now serving every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. in Cesar Chavez Park on 10th and I Streets in downtown Sacramento. Food Not Bombs provides free vegetarian meals to people in need. To find out how you can help by volunteering or by donating goods, email sactofoodnotbombs@yahoo.com. You can find out more information that way as well. Well, Lucy Guff, I'd like to thank you for coming on the program today and bringing all these friends. Please do.
And the plan is to have a debate after each of the shows. There'll be talk back after each of the shows. And hopefully what I'd like is that people to debate the existence of the soul. That's what we'd like to generate, an actual debate. And we're going to try and get people in, sort of neurologists and people to come and talk as well. And sort of actually discuss each night people to talk about the existence of the soul.
And this will be another way that each production will be different,
yes,
because of the different makeup of the audience,
yeah,
and the experts
absolutely
to talk,
yeah,
about this particular,
yeah,
topic.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hinterland is the play. If you want to find out more, you can visit the website of the Department of Theater and Dance at UC Davis. And just a reminder, it starts at 8 o'clock tonight and goes through Saturday. Jorge, thanks for coming on the program again.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And Brian, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Absolutely. Alyssa and Sarah, thanks for sharing with us a bit of this production.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, stick around, ladies and gentlemen, because there's some great music coming up. And also, I'm heading off to a poetry reading myself. Poetryindavis.com is the website where you can find out that Sharon Dubiago will be reading her work this evening at 8 p.m. at Bistro 33 here in the city of Davis at 226 F Streets. She's won 3 pushcart prizes for her poetry and fiction. She's an impressive poet, and we'll all get to meet her this evening if we are so inclined. Thanks to all of you for listening to this program. Stick around because Jess is here with some great music, and I'll see you next week for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Woohoo!
See you then.